This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
All right, everyone. Adam Ritz, along with you and Jay Baker. We're so glad you're here to enjoy public affairs radio in style. Jay, how are you?
I am doing great, and I am in studio today and looking forward to one of the best shows we've ever done.
This could be. You never know. We'll tell you in a half an hour if
yes,
this was the best
will.
Show we've
Absolutely.
Ever done. I wanted to start with a program at Clemson University called Clemson Life. This is a program which offers students with intellectual disabilities a post-secondary education focused on job skills and independent living. So pretty cool program at Clemson. It's called Clemson Life, if you want to look that up for any more information. And the reason I wanted to start with that story is because it's dads and grad season. You know, this
yes.
This show will air over Memorial Day weekend. And right around the corner, we've got all kinds of graduation parties you'll be going to in early June for the college graduates. And Father's Day around the corner, we'll be discussing, I'm sure, Father's Day season in an upcoming show. But with grads going on, dads and grads, I wanted to talk about this Clemson Life graduation that happened recently at Clemson University. A young woman named Grace Clements recently walked across the stage in her cap and gown. She got her diploma as a member of the Clemson Life program. She has special needs, and she tackled the university president. She took him down out of joy, and the viral moment was caught on video. It's all over the internet if you want to look it up. And the thing about the story that makes it fun is the president of the university is her dad, Jim Clements. So talk about a great moment for that family.
Wow, that's great.
University president Jim Clements at Clemson University, his daughter, Grace Clements, he calls her Amazing Grace.
Oh, nice.
Walked across the stage and took her dad down. I don't know. You can tell in the video, her goal wasn't to tackle her dad and take him down, but she was just so joyful. She kind of jumped up in his arms, and he wasn't expecting it. And then he caught her, and then he fell over. And, you know, the stadium, the arena of people just loved it. It was a very cool moment. We'll try to put a link to this on our website, adamritzshow.com, in the synopsis of this episode of this program. So congratulations to Clemson University and that program, Clemson Life.
And the cool thing about that is, I don't know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, she wouldn't have had that opportunity. So I think it is great now that we are looking at expanding what is success in the academic world.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you'll love this, Adam. I thought about this today as we were prepping for the show. There's a medication that I take. You know, many of us, as we get a little older, you're on some different meds, and you should continue to take your meds per what your physician says. But this particular medication says avoid injury as you use this medication. And I had the same response. You laugh. Of course,
wow.
I would avoid injury. But as I got thinking about that a little bit, what they are basically saying is this particular medicine is a blood thinner. And if you would happen to get a wound that bled, and it could be something pretty simple. I used to, when I was in the backyard cutting the grass, the branch hits your arm just right, and you got a pretty good bleeder going on. So this is the reason why I bring this up. This is the time of year where the American Red Cross said, hey, we're almost out of blood perpetually the whole summer. And emergency rooms say, we're full most of the summer. This is the time of year where more activities occur, and the blood supply and the emergency room facilities are all taxed at their absolute max. So as silly as it's going to sound, during the summer months, run through your head, whether you get on a ladder, whether you're doing something with lawn work, whether you're remodeling part of your house, whether you're even caulking your windows, take 10 seconds and say, am I avoiding injury? I know it sounds crazy, but if you think about it, it really does begin with, am I too many steps up on this ladder? Mm-hmm. Am I this? Am I that?
It doesn't sound crazy to me at all. And it's something I think about. Think about a car crash. Like if you got into an accident, even not just a crash, but just a minor fender bender. If you backed into somebody in a parking garage, had you after that event, after you back into somebody, if you thought about backing into somebody before you even got in the car,
yes,
it probably would not have happened. So take a second, like Jay said, think, okay, I'm getting ready to do some yard work with these shears.
Right.
Don't injure yourself. And you have a much higher chance of not getting hurt if you've consciously thought about being careful before you even begin.
Yes, absolutely. Unless you want a Netflix documentary written about you, most people do not want to get injured or end up in an emergency room. But I thought that was interesting. I have a friend who's an emergency room doc. He always says, yeah, your advice to avoid injury is sound.
It's a great note on your prescription. take 2 daily with water after your meal and do not decapitate yourself.
Just avoid injury. Absolutely. Recently, we had some big weather move through the Midwest and the South. Unfortunately, people were killed in some of these storms, but it brought to mind something of interest. My wife is really into storm safety, and I admire her for that. And we do urge that you remain weather aware from the show. Mm-hmm. But we always will tell you, find a great safe place in your house. But when this storm blew through last week, I thought of something that I think is very pertinent to our show. Yes, you may have a safe place selected. They always tell you an interior room without a window, shielded from the rest of the house, as close to the center of the structure as you can. But here's one thing that we found that was interesting. As we heard the sirens go off in our neighborhood, it took us probably 3, 4, 5 minutes because we knew that we wanted to be storm prepared. But all of a sudden it was, oh, where's my cell phone? Where's that one pair of shoes that I can walk in real easily? Where's this? Where's that? Oh, we got to go grab the dog. It took us 4, 5, or 6 minutes to actually get to our safe spot. So I guess what I'm trying to tell you is part of storm preparedness at your house should be that you have most of those items or a list of what you need ready to go so that you can get to that room. Because you might not have 5 or 6 minutes like we had.
That's a long time in an emergency, 5 minutes. So you need to be prepared before your storm preparedness.
Yes. And it's silly stuff. We've got battery-operated lights in that closet. And, we always keep ourselves, whenever any bad weather is forecast in our region, we always charge up our cell phones and everything. But just the silly thing of, oh, I got to get my phone off the charger. Oh, I got to go find my shoes. Oh, I've got to do this. Oh, I've got to do that. Mm-hmm. My recommendation would be to have all that stuff lined up and ready. The standard storm stuff is pertinent for everyone. Once you're in that room, you want to be able to close that room off from other things. One of the things that they do recommend is that you shut all the doors in your house. Because if you think about it, the windows are the most vulnerable spot. So if you have a spare bedroom, you should close the door because you don't want breaking glass to, come in the house and cause problems. But yeah, the length of time, and we chuckled a little bit afterwards. Now, thankfully, we weren't engaged with some really bad storms, but we kind of thought, we're laughing, but this isn't funny. You do want to be primed and ready. So think of that safe spot and make sure you have some supplies and everything ready to go. You don't need to – I don't think you need to plan for you're going to be in this room for months. hopefully. But you do have to say, if I have to be in this room for a fat 45 minutes, I better have my phone with me.
So you're not saying get an Easy Bake Oven and put it in your interior closet. Preparing for a storm, I'm not looking for my storm preparedness badge from you, Director Wilderness Man. But you'd be proud of me. This past week, we had some storms coming, and
yes,
they were talking about tornadic, wind formations and softball-sized hail.
Yeah, you can.
And
get
I
really
have been
big hail.
Parking my car in the driveway this spring because I've been doing a lot of yard work and, mm-hmm. and getting the yard ready. And so, you know, the lawnmower and all my weed eater and shears and pruning gear and everything, you know, my work boots, all of it's in my garage and I don't put it away because I'm using it. So I've just been parking in the driveway. And I thought, okay, I'm gonna put everything back in the garage, clean out the garage so my car will fit because I don't want to get storm damage. I didn't want a limb to fall on it or the softball size hail. And I went ahead and charged my brick so that if we lost power, I'd have power to charge my phone if I needed to. And in our area, we did get some rain, but we got some gusts of wind, but
right,
certainly nothing close to even blowing a branch down. And sometimes you'll find that when you go to links to prepare, that's when the storm miraculously bypasses you, because I told Melissa, if I hadn't put my car away, sure as I'm sitting here with you, Jay, I would have had storm damage on my car.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I would just say, think in terms of run what could happen scenario-wise in your head, and then just be prepared, because I would have been Mr. Public Affairs Guy of the Year if I'd said, how long did it take you to get safety in the closet with your family dog? 30 seconds, sir. Instead, it was like 7 minutes and counting with my wife going, did you find your phone? Which was a good question.
Well, I'd have to explain to our audience why you were no longer on the program. Had you blown away during your 5 minutes of trying to get to the interior part of your house?
When I made the dog wear a military helmet and a vest, she was thinking, what's going on here? Yeah, so anyway, the only one that was really ready to go into the closet was the dog, because mm-hmm. she doesn't have a phone or special shoes. So
you know what I'll say? I'm going to tag team you on this story and mention that the cell phone and social media and video has really put a dent in people being smart about storm safety.
Yes.
I have seen this week a lot of videos online of people that are on their front porch videotaping or running video off their phone,
yes,
of a tornado. And one of them in particular, a branch, not even a branch, I mean, almost an entire tree,
yes,
came flying toward them into the house while they, in a panic, turned around and ran into the house. And luckily, they did not get hit by the tree or hurt.
They were lucky.
But it's not Twister. It's not a movie. It is not a controlled environment, and if you're on your even if you're in your front living room standing by the picture window and that window blows and all those shards of glass fly on you, I mean, take it seriously. Get into the interior room of your house.
Yeah, don't try to be that guy that gets that perfect shot of the tornado. That is not a thing that you want to aspire to.
It's not worth getting clicks.
Absolutely
and
not.
Being the host of that viral video.
Well, Adam, you and I, we've raised kids. We've tried to give our kids the best possible input. They say nowadays, try to get kids engaged in something that's, well, needed for society. You'll be pleased to know the United States Army now officially recruiting space warriors. Space warriors is a thing.
Okay, this isn't Space Force. This is the U.S. Army, and they're looking for space warriors?
Now, we've heard about Space Force, and I think Space Force still exists, but the Pentagon announced a new space-related military occupational specialty. It's slated to start in October of next year. Military officials believe that it's important for the U.S. to be prepped for battle wherever it may happen, on the land, in the air, in the sea, and cyberspace.
Is this being headed up by Bill Pullman and Randy Quaid by chance? Maybe Will Smith is on the team?
Will Smith is on the team. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, yes, they are looking for soldiers that can go into outer space. This will be the first time ever that soldiers have a chance to specialize. They are calling it space operations. So if you've said to yourself, I would like to join the military, and you'll be pleased to know, and I think this is a very positive thing, recruitment for the general armed forces is way up in the last couple of years, and this is a pause. So if you say to yourself, while it'd be cool to be a Marine, wouldn't it be cooler to go out in outer space? I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah, add it to the list. Are you going to be in the Coast Guard, maybe a Green Beret, or a space warrior?
Space warrior. Absolutely. I think you and I would choose space warrior. Hey, here's good news for anyone that says, boy, I just don't have time to hit the gym. A new survey says that just 11 minutes a day of moderate activity, and they're putting lists together like brisk walking, gardening, even ballroom dancing, can seriously slash your risk of heart disease, cancer, and early death. So this new study says that if you squeeze in 75 minutes a week of movement, you drop your risk of dying by 23%.
Very good to know.
It is good to
know. Get off your couch.
Yeah, while more activity is better, researchers say that swapping a car ride for a bike or playing with your kids totally counts. It's a simple, free way to boost your health.
75 minutes per week.
75 minutes per week. It brings your numbers down. Obviously, you get a little bit more than that positive. But if you think in terms of getting a little bit of activity, I do some stuff with some health issues that I've been having. And the people that conduct this program that I participate in have basically said that getting at least some physical activity every week is really just a great idea. You know that yourself.
Can you count if you have a 75-minute walk to your nearest Dairy Queen? Does that count?
I think Dairy Queen's new flavor is health. Can you imagine? I'll take the healthy, what's the...
The Blizzard.
Healthy, yeah, Blizzard.
Give me one of them healthy Blizzards.
It's got ground up carrots. It's perfect. Billy Joel, his wife Alexis, and the Joel Foundation were honored with the Education Partner Award for their longstanding commitment to Long Island High School for the Arts by the Nassau Board of Cooperative Educational Services. So once again, it's an example of rock stars doing good things for the community. Billy Joel knows a thing or two about music, and he's been a big supporter of that Long Island High School for many years.
You know who, completely useless trivia for you here, Jay. You know, one of Billy Joel's classmates in high school was Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, wow.
How cool, what kind of a class, if you went to high school with them, and you're like, you used to sit between Billy Joel and Bill O'Reilly in math class. I mean, that's
two different Billys.
That's crazy,
isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Different ends of the spectrum.
I love the fact, and I am glad that Bill O'Reilly has reinvented himself. I've gathered that Bill's about 6'6".
Oh, he's tall, yeah.
Yeah, so they've always talked about that when Bill shows up at social events, it's like, look, everyone, it's Bill O'Reilly. It's almost like, you know, T-Rex has walked into the wedding reception.
We'll do it live.
Do it live. That's such a great cut. Hey, a quarter of Americans are stuck in a relationship they can't afford to leave. This is hard to believe. Money can't buy love, but it turns out it may be keeping some couples together. According to a new survey, 24% of Americans admit they're in a relationship that they can't afford to leave, depending on who the primary breadwinner is, depending on who's paying the mortgage, depending on who owns most of the house that you may or may not have moved into?
Well, even if you, let's say you're 50-50, you each make the exact same salary and you're splitting the mortgage of an average to above average home, if you both split, neither one of you would be able to afford an apartment today.
Absolutely. It's something to think about.
Or buy a house on their own. So, and, you know, sometimes looking across the fence at the other grass, it's not quite greener on that grass.
No, it's not.
I've heard the dating horror stories. I guess I'd rather blame it on my finances and stay in this marriage than not. And I don't know, you know, Jay, I'm not, I don't know where we're going with this section of the show. We're not, certainly not advising to go ahead and get that divorce. Don't let finances stand in your way. It's just, I hear you. It is a relevant statistic.
I thought it was very interesting. Yeah. And so they said, as with any fact that you hear, if this engages 24% of Americans,
for sure,
you use the flip of this, you say to yourself that whenever I'm in a significant relationship, it's important to factor in all factors, not the least of which would be financial concerns.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean take the love out, because, Adam, you and I would feel horrible. You know, you and I love 80s rock and roll, where every song was a love song. Remember that? Even the songs that weren't love songs were technically love songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it, with the exception of R.E.M. dedicated to the one I love, which is a sarcastic song, which was not about love, but I digress. But yes, so I just thought that was very interesting. And as I say this, I'm urging my wife to stay with me, because I'm one of the 24%. Come on, honey, you love having me around, don't you?
She would agree that this is our best show ever.
Absolutely.
Because if she had the financial means, she would be out of here.
She said, hey, Mr. Public Affairs, go in there and make radio magic. And I said, yes, I will. Well, this is a kind of a cool story. How to spot a liar. You know, this comes up every once in a while, like certain tips and tells. Well, if no better authority than a seasoned trial lawyer, Jefferson Fisher, basically dished on a recent podcast, what are some tips to look for in a liar? I mean, I'm bringing this up because this might be helpful.
I'm ready.
You never know.
This could help our listeners. It very well might help me.
You never know.
In a future argument.
Apparently, liars love to use absolutes, and here's absolutes. Words like never and always.
Uh-huh.
If you use those in phrases, you may or may not be a liar. Another sign someone is lying, liars often respond to questions very quickly.
Really?
Yeah, it means that they probably are not thinking things through. They're not really reflecting on what you ask them. They're just trying to give you an answer.
Okay, but then let's take it the other side of the of this spectrum. If they wait too long to answer, then it seems like they are trying to formulate the lie inside their head.
So you could be...
There is a sweet spot.
Doing certain things to lay off that you really are lying, but you're twisting it around.
So maybe a few seconds, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, that's a good amount of time before you answer the question. Jay's advice is don't answer immediately and don't wait 7 minutes to answer. That could mean you're lying too.
As a gentleman that's been in the principal's office during his high school years, I would say, Adam is right. There is a sweet spot for answering.
Jay, there's a great way to not get caught lying at all, and that is don't answer the question. Just don't even talk.
Here's another thing to do, too. If you can, tell the truth all the time.
Oh, yeah. That's a better piece of advice there. Just
now,
tell the truth.
Now, my dad, who was actually a great fibber, and I'm digressing a little bit, because he would tell us fibs to actually help us out, because it would be like, he'd tell you something, then you'd realize, oh, I'm really glad I studied for that test and didn't join Space Force or whatever crazy thing. my dad always used to say, always tell the truth, because that's the easiest to remember.
It is.
It is.
If you tell the truth, you'll never have to remember your story.
Yeah, absolutely. So I thought that was kind of interesting. A gentleman who is a corporate lawyer said, here's a couple of tips. He basically said, too, that if you suspect someone is pulling your leg, lying to you, they said, slowly repeat the questions you've been asking, because most likely the person will retract their original statement and possibly stumble over their words in the process. So that's sort of how to tell if someone is pulling your leg.
So if you were to say to your spouse, what time did you get home last night? And they just fire off an answer. And then if you replied again, what time did you say you got home last night? A little slower, then they'll be like, okay.
I'm pleased that my spouse usually falls asleep on the couch in our living room, so there's no story that she has to remember.
Well, and for us, getting home late enough to start an inquisition just doesn't happen anymore.
No, it doesn't. Thankfully not. Well, we'll finish up with an interesting story. We always love it when communities get together to help dispose of hazardous waste and recyclable materials. Mm-hmm. But apparently, the city of Grand Rapids, Michigan, is having a little bit of an issue. Apparently, a Civil War era cannonball was discovered among the items being disposed of at a hazardous waste drop-off site in Grand Rapids. And they're using the phrase, again, this happened one other time. So you're saying to yourself, you know, I'm trying to get rid of some spray paint, some motor oil. Oh, and this Civil War cannonball.
And is that hazardous material? I mean, it's just a ball of lead, isn't it?
Well, you would think that it is, but apparently this is an explosive device that was used apparently in the Civil War, because you're right. When I think of a cannonball, I think of almost like a bowling ball from, a local bowling alley. You know, it wouldn't explode.
I never considered cannonballs exploding. I just thought they were giant bullets.
Apparently this one was.
This one explodes?
This one explodes.
And that's why the North won.
Yes.
Good old Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids.
Exploding cannonballs.
They knew what was going on. Apparently, they actually had to involve the Grand Rapids Police Department. Their bomb squad showed up. It's the second time in recent years that someone has dropped off a cannonball for disposal in Grand Rapids.
It's got to be the same person. Is it the same guy?
It's got to be. How many of these would be around? The Kent County Department of Public Works has issued a reminder to residents, potentially explosive items, including antique munitions, should not be brought to recycling centers or hazardous waste facilities. So I'm bringing that up because, you know, if you're saying to yourself, hey, here's grandpa's old hand grenade, let's take it up to the recycling center.
Yeah.
Probably not a good idea.
Yeah, that's got to end up in a museum. You could almost think it hasn't gone off yet. It's been a few years since the Civil War. I think we're pretty safe. Let's put this in a museum.
Isn't it amazing, though? I had read a recent article that as the greatest generation begins to pass away, many of the great warriors, the gentlemen that fought in World War II, brought back souvenirs of the Great War. And some of those are explosive, like German hand mm-hmm. grenades or American hand grenades or all types of different things. That it's one thing if it's on grandpa's closet shelf, it's another if people are going, what's this?
Yeah. Michigan, the Henry Ford Museum is right up there.
Oh, yes.
I was going to ask you, what's the coolest thing you've ever seen in a museum? I'll go first. I saw the chair that Abraham Lincoln was shot in the Ford Theater. It is at the Henry Ford Museum. I don't know if it could be in a different museum by now. This was 35 or 40 years ago. But that was pretty crazy to see the chair that Abraham Lincoln was sitting in when he was assassinated.
And for a long time, they had the limo that John F. Kennedy rode in Dallas when he was unfortunately assassinated. So
at that same museum?
That's a spooky museum in a way. These are artifacts, obviously. They didn't have the exploding cannonball, which I was hoping they would have.
I didn't see the cannonball. It was, but you might. You may, and we'll talk about it in a future episode of this Public Affairs Radio Show. Jay, thank you so much for your efforts. And for our listeners, you can climb on board with us anytime you like. We've got all of our past shows in on-demand podcast form on our website. It's AdamRitzShow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.